97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome into Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox here along with Bo Matthews and producer Carl Middleman. We are having a great week, and we hope you are too.
It has been a crazy week, but yes, the weather has been nice, although they say this weekend is supposed to be hot and humid. But hey, it's summertime, and we've had a lot of rain.
We have had a lot of rain, and I think fairly moderate temperatures, actually. And I'm sure those who enjoy the great outdoors probably appreciate that for this summer. It hasn't been as hot. I had a memory pop up on my social media this week that actually said 107. So that was from 4 years ago.
Wow.
So clearly we've been in the 80s and low 90s. That we can't complain about that.
No, it's been nice. And, you know, good luck to the guy we had on the show last week, Ryan Connolly. He currently is on the MR340 kayak race. Tried to reach him, but it just proves he must be on a version of Naked and Afraid out there because there's no signal.
Kayaking, naked, and afraid. I would be very afraid if I was kayaking naked.
Couldn't it just be Naked and Afraid with flip-flops? I mean, I try to walk to my trash can barefooted on my gravel driveway. I can't do it.
No, you can't.
It's ridiculous.
Who came up with that crazy idea to begin with? It's like a train wreck.
Cruel people.
Well, and not only that is, since it's on like basic cable, you don't see. It's just nothing but blur. They spent half their budget on pixelating out all the good parts.
Well, you're sick.
You are sick. The good parts. I mean, I'll be honest with you. In a lot of cases, after they've been living out there in the dirt, it's not something you want to look at anyway. Carl.
Amen to that.
Can I just tell you that?
Yeah, I don't watch that show.
That's been my experience with the topless beaches through the years. If I've been on vacation somewhere where there's a topless beach, normally it's not what you envision. I'll just leave it there.
It's not you.
It's not what you see.
It's you.
Oh, my goodness.
Some things you should never have to see. I'll just tell you that.
Speaking of shows that are about the outdoors, have you caught Alone? Have you seen the show Alone? This is where they put 10 people out in the upper, in this case, the eighth season, they put them up in the upper northwest of the country, Canada, actually, maybe, and you have to be alone for the longest amount of time. You do get like 10 items you can bring, a cooking pot, a fishing hook, or whatever. You got to see the show. It's on History Channel, and the last one out there wins however much money they're giving away. I think it's $500,000 this year. But you have to build your shelter. You have to have your firewood because it gets really cold, like 40 below, and you have to be able to fish. It's amazing. And so I vicariously travel through my television. That's how I do it.
One question about that. If you're on camera the whole time, are you really alone?
Yes, because you're responsible for your own filming.
Oh.
So they'll come and do med checks on you, and they'll give you new batteries and stuff like that. It's impressive.
Huh.
And you'd get to see where your mind goes. And some of the people that have the greatest shelters have plenty of food. You know, there's one lady a couple of years ago had rabbits. She was catching rabbits by the hundreds, making scarves and clothing out of it. But she just went nuts. I mean, just the solitude.
Talking to the rabbits.
talking to herself.
You're saying it drove her nuts?
It does to everybody.
Maybe it wasn't a long drive.
Maybe it wasn't.
If you're willing to do that, maybe it wasn't
78 days, I think, is the record.
Wow.
All by yourself. I don't know.
So I'm getting ready to take a little vacation to the Northwest. I'm going to go to Montana to Glacier National Park, do some hiking up there, and also Yellowstone. Hope to see Kevin Costner while I'm there. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding.
No, that's
and,
a great show,
yeah,
too.
So several of the trails, because we follow this, have been closed due to bear activity.
And we had a story just a week or two ago about the young lady in the tent. Was that where you're going?
Well, it's a little bit south of where we're going to be.
But close enough.
Well, you know, you got to wonder because it's a grizzly, and grizzlies are all over that place.
So do you believe in the hey bear scareaway tactic?
I do.
Do you?
I think if they hear you coming, they avoid you. What you don't ever want to do is surprise one. I've been reading up on this because, of course, I'm a sportsman, and I believe in defending myself. And you know, here's the great thing about it, Bo. It was the excuse I need, and I don't need much of one to buy a new firearm.
Absolutely.
I studied it. I said, what kind of firearm do you need if you face a moose or a bear or something like that? And the conclusion was there are three guns you handguns that you should choose from if that's the concern. One is a 44 Magnum.
Yep.
One is a 454 Cashel, and the other one is a 10 millimeter.
The Judge is not part of this lineup?
Well, it could be. I mean, you could argue that could be one of them, but generally speaking, those are the three guns that they're
talking about. That's the caliber you need.
I asked him that same question on Monday.
My wife got me a Judge, and it's awesome.
Oh, it would work fine, and I chose the 10 millimeter for the reason that a lot of people do. It may not quite be the round of the 44, but you have 16 of them instead of six.
And I'm thinking your hand might be shaking a little bit. Your whole body might be shaking.
I can't imagine. So we were listening to a ranger from Glacier, and there was a mama bear and two cubs about 100 yards off this pullout off the road. And the ranger said, I need everybody to get back in their car.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody questioned him on that, and he said, that sow could cover that 100 yards in under 20 seconds.
Whoa.
And she's on you before you know it, and it's just not worth it. Get back in the car, and I'll warn you. So my thought at that point was, if you actually saw one of these monstrosities charging at you, could you hold your bowels long enough to draw the gun and get a few shots off? I don't know the answer to that.
Wow.
But I hope I don't have to find out.
Well, that's the newest season of Alone, the TV show I mentioned a moment ago. Grizzlies are rampant in this area.
Sure.
And there was one guy that stayed 3 days and heard grizzlies in his camp, and he tapped out. He's like, I can't do this. I mean, could you imagine being in their neighborhood?
No.
And your heart rate, and we talk about training all the time with firearms, your skill level goes to the base minimum of what your expertise is when something is happening, sure, whether it's a bad guy or a bear, I got to imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a last case scenario. In fact, when you watched the videos, that they produced one specifically for Glacier, because they reintroduced grizzlies and really concentrated on increasing the population up there back in the 70s. And they've been immensely successful. There are, I think it's estimated to be 300 grizzly bears up in that general region. And it increases your odds of running across one, right? So they're telling you have to know the difference between a black bear and a grizzly bear. It depends on how you react. Usually the grizzly bear will bluff at you and not actually just want you to back away and leave it alone. Black bears are more likely, if they're coming at you, to actually follow through an attack. So the things you need to know about these things, and you just hope that you remember all of it, and they want you to use bear spray. They tell you how to talk to the bear. They want you to use bear spray. Well, you know, if it's windy, if it's foggy, you have to be within 20 or 30 feet for the bear spray to be effective. Mm-hmm. So the thing's pretty close to you at that point. They never bring up firearms because they would prefer that you not even take one with you.
Oof.
I'm sorry. Not a chance I'm walking into that wilderness without a firearm.
You have to have a special permit?
Nope.
Okay, good.
Not in Montana specifically, but they changed the law back in around 2011 that you can carry a firearm in a federal park.
Oh, okay.
You can. It's completely legal. It's just not legal to fire it.
Okay. Well.
So people have been charged for firing at a bear that was trying to eat them. It's that silly. But at the end of the day, I'd rather have to be dragged into a courtroom than have people come to my visitation.
Is it a misdemeanor or a felony? Do we know?
I'm sure it's a felony. I'm sure it's a federal felony because you're not allowed to hunt in the park. So you can carry a firearm, but they don't want anybody hunting. So it's illegal to discharge the firearm unless, of course, you can prove it's a case of self-defense.
Gotcha. Right. Is this a big group you're going with? Just you and your wife? Or
me, my wife, my daughter. But
how old's daughter?
13.
Oh, okay.
But there are lots of people around because the national parks are crowded right now.
Oh, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I'm not of the belief that we're going to be in any really remote area. Is by ourselves.
But you'll be prepared if you need to
I'll be ready.
So, tent camping, RV camping?
We have a small camper.
Oh, good. Okay.
Pull trailer. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Okay. But that doesn't even explain what happened before he left, because he had wildlife encounters while he was here in St. Louis.
Tell me what you would do about this, Bo Matthews, please. I put sod down in my backyard for an area where the grass had kind of died out because the dog used to run up and down the back fence. And I keep coming out in the morning and I find the edges of the sod curled up. Like at every corner, the corner of the sod's rolled up. And I'm thinking to myself, this has got to be a raccoon or a possum. So I set my live trap out there, and I caught a couple of squirrels. I don't believe the squirrels are doing this. No. So finally, I caught a possum.
Yikes!
I've got a picture of it here. If you
so
want to see it.
Yeah, I would.
And my question now is, what to do with said possum? And we had a debate on the radio about it. And everybody's telling me don't kill the possum.
They're better
they
for the wildlife.
Ticks and mosquitoes and all this. But I don't want this dude coming back and messing with my sod.
Do you still have him incarcerated?
I do.
You do. And this just happened
at the time of this taping. Yes.
Hours. Yes. You've only had it hours.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, and do you live in a neighborhood or do you live rurally?
Neighborhood with a common ground behind me there. If I turn him loose, he's just going to do it again. I've thought about driving him to a city park or something and turning him loose there.
How about? I mean, my dad, you know, said, "Hey, we're taking the dog out to the farm." Have you thought about doing that?
Yes, he has.
So,
but Sue Thomas yelled at him and said, "Please don't kill the possum."
Sue, nobody wants me to,
euthanize.
I mean, every creature has a job, right?
Right.
We get that.
Yeah.
But in a neighborhood, you know, like the guy we're going to be talking to about who found an alligator.
Oh my gosh.
Do you think he's just going to release it and let it eat ticks? No. We're going to find out that story. But so, what is your? Do you call the wildlife sanctuary?
No, not,
they don't want nothing.
I'm not dealing with any of that. I'm either going to take it to a park and release it, or I'm just going to do the job myself.
Can you dispatch it without breaking your own heart?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I've been hunting long enough that that's
and he can
an
just
issue.
Tell Sue something else.
If I can kill Bambi, I could take care of a possum.
I've heard, wasn't it Granny on
Beverly Hills?
Yeah, possum stew.
Somebody called in this morning and said you should eat it. I'm like, I don't think so.
No.
I'm not starving.
Didn't
so
we,
I'm not
didn't we talk about roadkill last week on the
yes,
show?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can call that guy. He's not dead, though.
That's true.
No, that's
true.
Fresh right there. That's what that is. Well, that's interesting. So it'll be, I'm anxious to hear about your trip, but I also want to hear what you're going to do with this.
Yeah, well, I'll let you know what I decide when we come back. That's for sure.
Does your wife have a vote or no?
She won't care.
How about your daughter?
She might care.
Okay.
I'm still waiting for that feedback. I haven't gotten it yet.
Flush it down the toilet.
No. But you know, speaking of outdoors and hunting and fishing and finding alligators, we got a father and son coming up who've had a unique experience. That we love hearing stories like this of dads and daughters and sons getting out and fishing and doing things together. These two did it, and then they both set a state record. A little competition going on there. We're going to get to it coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll be right back.
What are you waiting for? Say goodbye to my heart tonight. Woke up early one bright fall day.
That's a great song. Conway Twitty. Oh, boy. Yeah, it is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Oh, I miss Conway Twitty so much. He had great hair, too.
Yes, he did, didn't he?
He's like the Barry White for white people. Come on.
I've never heard that one before. That's fantastic.
Hello, darling. How about that, huh? Love to lay you down, all those songs.
Oh, yeah.
But that's my job, is this song.
Yes, and what's this song about?
Fathers and sons.
What?
Yes, it's appropriate for our first guest as we get into Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. It is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are your gun concierge. You want something special? They can get it for you. Go to RazorbackArmory.com. They're just off 270 on Manchester Road, about a half mile east. I was in there the other day. Great store. You'll love Jesse and Brad and the crew. But we welcome a father and son, what turned out to be a competition. The father used to hold the record, and now the son holds the record when it comes to fishing, and we're going to talk to them and get into their story. Welcome Robert and RJ. By the way, it is Mark Cox and Bo Matthews. I didn't do that part.
You did not do that. That's okay, though. People tune in. They know, and here we are.
Let's see. Let's see. Robert, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
Welcome to the show, sir. So let's talk about your record first, and how long did it hold?
So I caught my record July 3rd of last year, and it held 1 year exactly. My son RJ broke the record exactly a year to the day.
And tell the audience what the record was.
So the record was 4 ounces, and then he raised it up and set the bar just a little higher.
Wow. And it's a sunfish, correct?
It is a long-eared sunfish. So we knew what it was. I had had some back in the creek we used to fish on, so I was pretty familiar with it. And when we were going after, we were fishing for crappie, and I had caught one, and then my son had caught a real big one. And this was back last year, July 3rd. And I was like, man, that's the biggest long ear I've ever seen. And this was on rod and reel. So we threw it in the fish basket, got the boat going back to the dock. As we were going back to the dock, that fish swam out the basket.
Oh, no.
That was a... Oh yeah, so I was like, man, that was a giant long ear. I wonder what the record for long ears are, and we looked up the rod and reel record, which I believe is 11 ounces. But then what caught our eye was the alternative methods record was only at the time I think 3.9 ounces or something along those lines. It was a pretty small record, so we was like, oh god, we think we could do this. So we got our hand lines out, and we tried that afternoon, and I hit it. I hit mine right on the first throw. It wasn't that afternoon. It was the next week. I had gone back without him. And I hit mine on the first throw and went and got it weighed in and everything to kind of rub it in because he wasn't with me.
Can you explain alternative methods?
Yeah, so an alternative method, the more common alternative methods would be like a limb line or a trot line. And then... you get into the more the older kind of style, which is a hand line or a throw line. So you can just use some fishing line and wrap it around your hand or hold the line and just toss out we used a smaller hook because we knew we were going after some smaller fish with a piece of worm. So you could still use a hook and everything, but no rod and reel. Like you're holding the line in your hand and you kind of get a little twist going and you can give it a real good flip.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, it's got to be exciting because fishing for sunfish or bluegill or crappie or whatever it is, boy, they fight anyway. Usually you're using fairly light gear to begin with, but doing it by hand must be a different experience.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And you think, you know, back in the old days, that's probably how it all started.
Yeah.
So somebody decided to tie it on a stick, you know?
Yeah, caveman days. And we're not talking about feasting fish. There's not, I mean, you got to catch a lot of sunfish. When I grew up in Minnesota, 10,000 lakes, right? It's actually 14,000. But we caught sunfish by the barrel because they were not really that big. Now, these are, it may be a different breed, not the long ear necessarily. But you held the record for the alternative method of 4 ounces. Is that right? 3.8 or 4 ounces?
Yeah, mine was a little over 4.
Okay, so this is official from the Missouri Department of Conservation. They qualified this. They verified it. Everything's good for almost a year or about a year.
You got it. Yeah.
Let's get RJ in here.
Yeah, no kidding. RJ, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You've done a good job. Stayed so quiet in the background there. So, what did you think when you first heard Dad set a state record a year ago?
So obviously I wasn't with him, and he texted me a picture of it, and I was just thinking, you got to be kidding me. Because he actually beat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool, though. I have to tell everybody that you're 13 years old, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And how long have you been fishing? Dad put a pole in your hand when you were a toddler?
Yeah, I think. Maybe even younger than that.
And the student overtook the instructor.
Yeah, I know. It didn't take long, huh? So had you kind of been plotting since last year, kind of set this up for me? I mean, you know, Dad got this record. You assumed there would be some bigger fish in there you could go after, huh?
Yeah, like you said, I caught that really big one, so I knew there were bigger ones in there. And I had been trying a couple of times that we went before that and couldn't catch any. I was catching was bluegill and other sunfish, and I just got lucky that it was the same day.
Is this a private waterway or is it a public waterway?
It's private.
Was it stocked?
That's why we can't. I don't know. I think they do.
Gotcha. I stocked my lake about 10 years ago. And man, the catfish went in at 6 inches, and then they went all the way up over a foot, 14 inches. They were gigantic. Of course, I feed them. But
sure.
Different kind of fishing. But what's, you know, if you think of aerodynamics of a sunfish, they're tall, they're lean, they're thin. It's like a kite in the water. So that's why they fight so good. That's why we enjoyed, you know, fishing for them in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, you guys fish in this pond a lot? Is it a destination for you? Did you go there because you knew there were a lot of these sunfish in there?
Yeah, we kind of go there. We try to go there probably once a month.
Yeah.
We have another place that we actually go to sometimes.
It sounds like your dad has told you never tell anybody where the honey hole is, right?
I don't think I'm allowed to say.
No, I wouldn't do it either, brother. I wouldn't do it either. So, Robert, when did you start fishing, Dad?
I have some pictures of me in diapers with my dad fishing.
Wow.
And my grandpa. So it's cool. Like, he's, you know, Robert Audrey the fourth, and I'm the third, and the whole bunch of us all been fishing, and my dad, you know, got into fishing from his dad, and it's just been passed down through the line there.
I think that's awesome, passing down something like this. But it's even more than fishing. It's more about spending time with your son and the conversations that come from that. Are you like Bill Engvall's dad? Do you bring a whole cooler of drinks? It's 11 beers and one Pepsi? Or are you bringing something for everybody?
RJ, I'll let you answer that one.
The first one.
The first one.
It happens. It goes along with fishing. You'll get there someday, young man.
I think that's great. Well, listen, congratulations to both of you, and I'm sure there's an opportunity to still try to outdo each other in the coming years.
Right.
RJ, you better watch out for him. I think your dad's already plotting on you.
Oh, I know he is.
And if I could just give one shout-out to the Missouri Department of Conservation, and Agent Kevin Uhlinger, I mean, he was fantastic. July 3rd, I'm sure he was getting ready to start his holiday weekend himself, and he hung around the office there because he knew a kid had a fish that needed to be weighed. And, I mean, I just can't say enough about those guys.
It's a great organization, and if people don't have their magazine, it's free. Just go on their website to sign up. Get a lot of information about plants and animals and schedules and you know, seasons. It's fantastic. So is there any discussion about mounting this record-breaking fish for RJ? Hey, there's small trophies. Come on.
Yeah, they don't actually use the fish anymore.
Yeah, I know.
To, like, mount them. So I actually released mine back because it was still alive when we got back. So we could grow bigger and have its own life.
Yeah.
And break the record next year.
And catch it again.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I haven't got my mount back yet, and now we got another one going in. So
that's outstanding. Well, listen, congratulations to you both, Robert, to RJ. Thanks for giving us some time today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet. Impressive young man there as well that he's got. So.
Did you grow up fishing, Mark?
I did. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. From an early age, my dad had a pole. Used to go to family ponds that we had. My favorite experience fishing as a young man, my dad, God bless him and God rest his soul, had a boat, and I lived in southern Ohio, and we'd drag that thing all the way to Lake Erie because he heard that the walleye explosion up there was going on.
Sure, absolutely.
This was in the late 70s, and we'd go out there and limit out every time, catching these good-sized walleye, and they were great eating, and we got out in a few storms while we were out there and had a little excitement at the same time. It was fantastic.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we fished in Arizona, but my dad didn't own a boat, but he had a friend that did.
Okay.
And so I remember one afternoon, we went to this island in this big giant lake, and the guy that owned the boat left us on the island, didn't come back. I mean, till like daylight the next morning. I don't know if they had too many of the beers in the cooler. It was frightening. It was cold. But we survived it. And guess what? It's a story I'm telling this many years later.
Great stories. Many, many great stories, some of which I can't tell on the radio that happened. Fantastic stuff. Well, you know, we're not talking about record sunfish or anything. But what is the strangest thing you've ever found on an outing?
The strangest
like
thing.
Like something unusual, like a big snake or something like that.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't want to see any bears.
Well,
I know that.
Bears. We've had bears. How about alligators?
In these parts?
Did you hear about the guy that found an alligator in his creek? And yeah, it happened. He was as shocked as you would be hearing this story. You're going to hear from Chris Soljak when we come back on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews, along with my buddy Mark Cox, Carl Middleman, our executive producer for the show,
and
it's kind of on point for our next story.
I almost played See You Later, Alligator, but this one's more fun.
Crocodile Rock, yeah. Okay, before we get to it, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, in part brought to you by Chuck's Boots. Chuck's Boots in Fenton and St. Peter's, and you can shop online at chucksboots.com. Go to their website and Facebook page. Get registered to win a Polaris 1000 with Thorogood Boots and Chuck's Boots. Tell them Bo sent you.
Yeah, maybe you can get some alligator boots. You
they
think?
Got them.
I know they do.
I've seen them. They got some lizigators, too.
I bet they do. Our next guest, Chris Soljak, might have made his own pair, but I think he was a little too nice to do that. He was in his backyard and heard something splash in his creek. It was that simple. Chris, welcome into Second Amendment Radio. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for giving us some time. This is a fascinating story because, I mean, who hasn't just randomly taken a walk along their creek? I mean, you might expect to see a snake or something like that, but maybe set up for people. You were just out doing some yard work there in off Wild Horse Creek out in Wildwood when this happened, right?
Yes, sir. Just dragging a limb back to my fire pit and heard a splash, looked, and saw a tail.
A tail, an alligator, like you recognized it immediately as an alligator tail.
Well, it was kind of, I mean, I had to do a double take, but I knew it wasn't one of the many bullfrogs because the splash was way too big, and they don't have tails that look like that.
In these parts, that's shocking. So what was your first thought? Do I catch it or do I call someone?
I think I yelled out an explicit word.
Ooh, say it right now. That would be fun.
Holy.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, we're bleeping that.
And I said it a little loud in my stepdaughter. You know, our house is about 150, 200 yards from the creek. She heard it. So she's like, "You okay?" And I'm like, "No, I just saw an alligator." And she started laughing. So, you know.
Unbelievable.
So at this point, like, what do you do next? Did you think about calling, I don't know, the county police? Did you think about trying to call animal rescue? Tell us what went through your mind right after you spotted this thing.
I called my wife down first and all the kids to say, "Hey, am I freaking out here or am I losing my mind or is this an alligator?" And it took about, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes before it kind of not surfaced, but you could see him. He came up on the shore a little bit where he was down below, but you could see the outline. And my brother-in-law is the one that spotted him because they're all kind of thinking I'm nuts at this point. And so as soon as Adam said that, all the women took off running. And, you know, of course, the kids got excited. And, you know, Marcus, the commentator, he was excited. And then that's when my other son-in-law just pulled up. They were coming in from out of town, Arkansas, and he's the one that you see wrestling it down in the creek, actually.
Hold on. He wrestled it? Like, he caught it?
Well, yeah, you've got to see the video. So I'll just put in a plug here, a shameless plug. 971talk.com, we've got the YouTube video that Chris shared with me posted up there. People can go there and watch this, and I think this is great because Chris, you can describe this. They kind of, you've seen the TV shows where they capture these gators out in the wild. Chris kind of rigged up his own pole.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Like a cinch?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I had a lineman pole that my father-in-law gave me, and we first put a rope on it, but the rope wouldn't sink. So I put a metal dog chain on it and with the rope. And that's what, you know, that's how we got him. But before that, this was a little earlier, been within the 3 hours. Colton actually, when we ran him up the first time, he grabbed him by the tail and tried to drag him, but he came back pretty hard at him. That's when we rigged up the pole.
Okay, so can you describe the waterway that it's in? Is it a big pond? Is it a big lake? Were you worried about it getting lost?
It's a subdivision runoff creek is all it is.
Okay, okay. So you didn't think you were going to lose it anytime soon?
Well, I did kind of worry about that because it does, as it goes down farther, there's many bigger holes as it gets farther down the creek. So I was worried that went for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, we lost him. We couldn't find him. I thought he got out of there. So that kind of made me nervous, and so we started kind of dredging the bottom with the pole, and that's when we chased him up into the shallow end.
So the maybe the best part of this whole thing is the play-by-play done by Marcus. Is that what you said the young man's name is?
Yes, that's my stepson.
How old is he?
11 years old.
He is a character, and his dad, Chris hands him the phone and says, here, and you can see him fumble with it a bit, and then he turns it back on what they're doing with the alligator, and his play-by-play is pretty hilarious.
Would Jack Buck be proud?
he would, I think. That kind of makes the video, doesn't it, Chris?
He had some great commentation going on. His little... Only here in Wildwood.
He's like, nobody is going to believe this.
Well, I'm really glad we're having this conversation with you, Chris, because I didn't realize there was a viral video about it because I just read the story. My first thought was, I guess it was loose for a couple of weeks because the owner, you were able to find the owner that it got lost from.
So as soon as the we literally, between my wife and I, we called every agency and nobody wanted any part of it. So Bi-State Wildlife Hotline sent Brooke out, and Brooke came out and took it away. And as soon as she left, I started uploading some, you know, I'm thinking, nobody's going to believe this.
Right.
But, you know, my own son, he didn't believe me until he's like, yeah, right, Dad, until I sent him a pic. And he's like, are you kidding me? You know, so... within 20 minutes, I get a message through Facebook. Please tell me you didn't kill my. Oh, what did he say? Yeah, I think he said, please tell me you didn't shoot my alligator. And I'm like, no, they just left with him. And here's Brooke's number. You know, if you have all the right stuff, I'm sure they'll give it back to you. And he provided all the whatever they needed. So he texted me back saying, hey, I got my alligator. Thanks.
Did you figure out how far the alligator traveled from where it got out to where it went to, where you found it?
Well, he didn't tell me exactly where he's at, but he can't be over a mile away because I kind of followed the creek up myself, and it splits. So he couldn't have, to the top of the hill, it couldn't have been over a mile.
So to the best of our knowledge, Chris, this is keeping an alligator is legal in Missouri? I mean, it was under the length.
There's a maximum length.
The maximum length is 8 before you have to report it. That you have an endangered, that you have a dangerous animal.
That makes complete sense.
You can still own it even at 8 foot.
You just have to report it.
I think the good thing about this is, you know, everybody's like, you really want the kid to have it back? I'm like, well, yeah, because it's his pet, but I'm sure he learned by it, and he's going to make sure the thing is properly taken care of. I mean, who's going to figure an alligator is going to go climb a fence? And that's what he said happened.
He climbed a fence. Out. Wow.
Because it's small. It's only 5 feet long.
Yeah. So the question I have is, I lost my question. Yep. Oh, no, this is so exciting, though.
The thought crossed your mind. I had Chris on my show earlier this week. The thought did cross your mind to shoot it, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting there thinking, I've got dogs. We've got children.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of children in our neighborhood. So the first thing in your mind is, this thing's got to go. And the easiest way to do it is pair of boots.
You're right. Okay. So
Chuck's boots.
And they just called. They would like to. They're interested in. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Let me ask this. I did find my question because I have 1,000 for you, Chris. you know, when somebody loses a dog or a cat, they put posters on the telephone poles in the neighborhood. Was anything like that out there in the neighborhood saying, hey, there's an alligator. I lost my pet.
No. I don't think that's the kind of thing that you post, but I did go on.
No, it's exactly the thing you post when it's an alligator, for crying out loud.
I would think so, but his brother did post it on his page saying, hey, that's how I know the alligator's name was Fluffy.
Fluffy.
Was missing.
Of course.
So, Fluffy the alligator. I got to encourage people to go watch this video. It really is. I mean, honestly. So, Chris, have you ever handled an alligator before?
No.
No, I didn't think so, right? That's an odd question to ask somebody. But if you watch these TV shows where the people wrestle them, like out in the wild,
yeah, absolutely.
And they wrap their mouths up with something.
With duct tape, mostly.
Chris did that. He took a roll of duct tape, approached this thing, grabbed it from behind, and wrapped its mouth up with duct tape.
Yeah.
Mark, if you hear the video, Marcus keeps asking me, Chris, is it slimy? Is it slimy? And it wasn't. But I went to grab the mouth, and if you hear in the video, that thing hissed super loud, and the video doesn't do it justice. That's when I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to grab this thing by the mouth. So what I did was I unrolled the duct tape pretty, and I kind of made a loop, and I cinched it around its mouth and then wrapped it around and then grabbed him up. But he was pretty intimidating, even though he wasn't that, I mean, he wasn't huge, wasn't that big, but I sure didn't want those teeth wrapped around my arm.
Absolutely. I mean, just imagine trying to control a 4.5 foot tall kid. I mean, you know, and this one's got teeth. Not exactly. Crocodile, yeah, Crocodile Hunter. I mean, we've all seen that show, and that's probably in the back of your mind how you got to where you were. In Florida, this is a common thing. I mean, you could go on alligator tours, which I've done, and they bring out the, like, 2-foot alligator, and you can pet it, get a picture with it. Boring. I want to see a 14 footer. And they take you out to do it. Can I just tell you one little quick story? So when I lived in Orlando, Daytona, bike week always happens, right?
Yeah.
And when I first moved to Orlando, I was like, my wife and I are driving around getting to know the neighborhood. I'll try and get through this quick. We're driving over this bridge of this beautiful lake on a beautiful day in Florida. I'm like, why is there no boats on this lake? I mean, why isn't there people water skiing and jet skiing and all? And so I brought it up on my radio show that I had in Orlando. A lady called right away and said, Lake Jessup is what you're talking about. That's where they put all the vagrant alligators that they find in neighborhoods like Chris did, and they put them in there. Level that up. Bike week, I mentioned that because in the middle of the night, police found trucks with stolen motorcycle frames in the truck in the middle of the night, throwing the frames in Lake Jessup. So nobody would ever find them again. Well, then they bring out the crane. They start fishing out hundreds of motorcycle frames that had been stolen. So gators can be a good thing as far as security goes.
Yeah, I guess so.
That was an eye-opener for me.
Wow. My wife, we used to have a family member that lived down near Melbourne.
Yeah.
And she was training for a marathon when we went down there. So she contacted a local running group and said, can I train with you while I'm here? They're like, sure. We meet at 5 in the morning, and we start our training run. And she's running with them, and they're running down the middle of the street. And she's like, why are we running down the middle of the street? They said, well, the alligators crawl up onto the concrete seeking heat, and you don't want to be on the sidewalk in the dark because you might trip over one of them. Could you imagine having to worry about that?
And that's why we run at 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's exactly what Chris was thinking.
The good thing about that is you know they're there.
Yeah.
Wow. And you would expect it. Here you don't expect it.
I'm always looking for snakes and stuff, you know, because no, you're down by a creek. Never in my life would I have thought of an alligator.
You will tell this. This story will be told. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews, along with my buddy Mark Cox, Carl Middleman, our executive producer for the show, and it's kind of on point for our next story.
I almost played "See You Later, Alligator." But this one's more fun.
Crocodile Rock. Yeah. Okay, before we get to it, Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, in part brought to you by Chuck's Boots. Chuck's Boots in Fenton and St. Peter's, and you can shop online at chucksboots.com. Go to their website and Facebook page. Get registered to win a Polaris 1000 with Thoroughgood Boots and Chuck's Boots. Tell them Bo sent you.
Yeah, maybe you can get some alligator boots.
They got them.
I know they do. I've seen them.
They got some lizigators, too.
Is that what I bet they do. Our next guest, Chris Soljak, might have made his own pair, but I think he was a little too nice to do that. He was in his backyard and heard something splash in his creek. It was that simple. Chris, welcome into Second Amendment Radio. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for giving us some time. This is a fascinating story because, I mean, who hasn't just randomly taken a walk along their creek? I mean, you might expect to see a snake or something like that, but maybe set up for people. You were just out doing some yard work there in off Wild Horse Creek out in Wildwood when this happened, right?
Yes, sir. Just dragging a limb back to my fire pit and heard a splash, looked, and saw a tail.
A tail, an alligator, like you and me, you recognized it immediately as an alligator tail.
Well, it was kind of, I mean, I had to do a double take, but I knew it wasn't one of the many bullfrogs because the splash was way too big, and they don't have tails that look like that.
In these parts, that's shocking. So what was your first thought? Do I catch it or do I call someone?
I think I yelled out an explicitive word.
Ooh, say it right now. That would be fun.
Holy.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, we're bleeping that.
And I said it a little loud, and my stepdaughter, you know, our house is about 150, 200 yards from the creek. She heard it, so she's like, "You okay?" And I'm like, "No, I just saw an alligator." And she started laughing, so, you know.
Unbelievable.
So at this point, like, what do you do next? Did you think about calling, I don't know, the county police? Did you think about trying to call animal rescue? Tell us what went through your mind right after you spotted this thing.
I called my wife down first and all the kids to say, "Hey, am I freaking out here or am I losing my mind or is this an alligator?" And it took about, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes before it kind of not surfaced, but you could see him. He came up on the shore a little bit where he was down below, but you could see the outline. And my brother-in-law is the one that spotted him because they're all kind of thinking I'm nuts at this point. And so as soon as Adam said that, all the women took off running. And, you know, of course, the kids got excited. And, you know, Marcus, the commentator, he was excited. And then that's when my other son-in-law just pulled up. They were coming in from out of town, Arkansas, and he's the one that you see wrestling it down in the creek, actually.
Hold on. He wrestled it? Like, he caught it?
Well, yeah, you've got to see the video. So I'll just put in a plug here, a shameless plug. 971talk.com, we've got the YouTube video that Chris shared with me posted up there. People can go there and watch this, and I think this is great because Chris, you can describe this. They kind of, you've seen the TV shows where they capture these gators out in the wild. Chris kind of rigged up his own pole.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Like a cinch?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I had a lineman pole that my father-in-law gave me, and we put a rope on it, but the rope wouldn't sink. So I put a metal dog chain on it and with the rope. And that's what, you know, that's how we got him. But before that, this was a little earlier, been within the 3 hours. Colton actually, when we ran him up the first time, he grabbed him by the tail and tried to drag him, but he came back pretty hard at him. That's when we rigged up the pole.
Okay, so can you describe the waterway that it's in? Is it a big pond? Is it a big lake? Were you worried about it getting lost?
It's a subdivision runoff creek is all it is.
Okay. So you didn't think you were going to lose it anytime soon?
Well, I did kind of worry about that because it does, as it goes down farther, there's many bigger holes as it gets farther down the creek. So I was worried that went for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, we lost him. We couldn't find him. I thought he got out of there. So that kind of made me nervous. And so we started kind of dredging the bottom with the pole. And that's when we chased him up into the shallow end.
So the maybe the best part of this whole thing is the play-by-play done by Marcus. Is that what you said the young man's name is?
Yes, that's my stepson.
How old is he?
11 years old.
He is a character, and his dad, Chris hands him the phone and says, "Here," and you can see him fumble with it a bit, and then he turns it back on what they're doing with the alligator, and his play-by-play is pretty hilarious.
Would Jack Buck be proud?
he would, I think. That kind of makes the video, doesn't it, Chris?
He had some great commentation going on. His little Only here in Wildwood.
He's like, nobody is going to believe this.
Well, I'm really glad we're having this conversation with you, Chris, because I didn't realize there was a viral video about it because I just read the story. My first thought was, I guess it was loose for a couple of weeks because you were able to find the owner that it got lost from.
So as soon as the we literally, between my wife and I, we called every agency and nobody wanted any part of it. So Bi-State Wildlife Hotline sent Brooke out, and Brooke came out and took it away. And as soon as she left, I started uploading some, you know, I'm thinking nobody's going to believe this.
Right, right.
But, you know, my own son, he didn't believe me until he's like, yeah, right, Dad. Until I sent him a pic and he's like, are you kidding me? You know, so within 20 minutes, I get a message through Facebook. Please tell me you didn't kill my. Oh, what did he say? Yeah, I think he said, please tell me you didn't shoot my alligator. And I'm like, no, they just left with him. And here's Brooke's number. You know, if you have all the right stuff, I'm sure they'll give it back to you. And he provided all the whatever they needed. So he texted me back saying, hey, I got my alligator. Thanks.
Did you figure out how far the alligator traveled from where it got out to where it went to, where you found it?
Well, he didn't tell me exactly where he's at, but he can't be over a mile away because I kind of followed the creek up myself. There's, and it splits. So okay. He couldn't have, to the top of the hill, it couldn't have been over a mile.
So to the best of our knowledge, Chris, keeping an alligator is legal in Missouri? I mean, it was under the
length. Eight. There's a maximum length.
The maximum length is 8 before you have to report it. That you have an endangered, that you have a dangerous animal.
That makes complete sense.
You can still own it even at 8 foot.
I just have to report, you know, it.
I think the good thing about this is, you know, everybody's like, you really want the kid to have it back? I'm like, well, yeah, because and it's his pet, but I'm sure he learned by it, and he's going to make sure the thing is properly taken care of. I mean, who's going to figure an alligator is going to go climb a fence? And that's what he said happened.
He climbed a fence.
Because it's small. It's only 5 feet long.
Yeah. So the question I have is, I lost my question. Yeah. Oh, no, this is so exciting, though.
The thought crossed your mind. I had Chris on my show earlier this week. The thought did cross your mind to shoot it, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting there thinking, I've got dogs. We've got children.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of children in our neighborhood. So the first thing in your mind is, this thing's got to go. And the easiest way to do it is pair of boots.
You're right. Okay. So
Chuck's boots.
and they just called. They would like to. They're interested. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Let me ask this. I did find my question because I have 1,000 for you, Chris. you know, when somebody loses a dog or a cat, they put posters on the telephone poles in the neighborhood. Was anything like that out there in the neighborhood saying, hey, there's an alligator. I lost my pet.
No, I don't think that's the kind of thing that you post, but I did go on.
No, it's exactly the thing you post when it's an alligator, for crying out loud.
I would think so, but his brother did post it on his page saying, hey, that's how I know that the alligator's name was Fluffy.
Fluffy.
Was missing.
Of course.
Fluffy the alligator. I got to encourage people to go watch this video. It really is. I mean, honestly. So, Chris, have you ever handled an alligator before?
No,
I didn't think so, right? It's an odd question to ask somebody, but if you watch these TV shows where the people wrestle them, like out in the wild,
yeah, absolutely.
and they wrap their mouths up with something.
With duct tape, mostly.
Chris did that. He took a roll of duct tape, approached this thing, grabbed it from behind, and wrapped its mouth up with duct tape.
Yeah.
Mark, if you hear the video, Marcus keeps asking me, Chris, is it slimy? Is it slimy? And it wasn't. But I went to grab the mouth, and if you hear in the video, that thing hissed super loud, and the video doesn't do it justice. That's when I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to grab this thing by the mouth. So what I did was I unrolled the duct tape pretty, and I kind of made a loop, and I cinched it around its mouth and then wrapped it around and then grabbed him up. But he was pretty intimidating, even though he wasn't that – I mean, he wasn't huge. Wasn't that big, but I didn't want that – I sure didn't want those teeth wrapped around my arm.
Absolutely. I mean, just imagine trying to control a 4.5 foot tall kid. I mean, you know, and this one's got teeth. Crocodile. Yeah, Crocodile Hunter. I mean, we've all seen that show, and that's probably in the back of your mind how you got to where you were. In Florida, this is a common thing. I mean, you can go on alligator tours, which I've done, and they bring out the, like, 2-foot alligator, and you can pet it, get a picture with it. Boring. I want to see a 14-footer, and they take you out to do it. I will. Can I just tell you one little quick story? So when I lived in Orlando, Daytona, Bike Week. Always happens,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And when I first moved to Orlando, I was like, well, my wife and I are driving around getting to know the neighborhood. I'll try and get through this quick. We're driving over this bridge of this beautiful lake on a beautiful day in Florida. I'm like, why is there no boats on this lake? I mean, why isn't there people water skiing and jet skiing and all? And so I brought it up on my radio show that I had in Orlando. A lady called right away and said, Lake Jessup is what you're talking about. That's where they put all the vagrant alligators that they find in neighborhoods like Chris did, and they put them in there. Level that up. Bike Week, I mentioned that because in the middle of the night, police found trucks with stolen motorcycle frames in the truck in the middle of the night, throwing the frames in Lake Jessup. So nobody would ever find them again. Well, then they bring out the crane. They start fishing out hundreds of motorcycle frames that had been stolen.
Wow.
So,
wow.
So gators can be a good thing as far as security goes.
yeah, I guess so.
That was an eye-opener for me.
Wow. My wife, we used to have a family member that lived down near Melbourne.
Yeah.
And she was training for a marathon when we went down there. So she contacted a local running group and said, can I train with you while I'm here? And they're like, sure. We meet at 5 in the morning, and we start our training run. And she's running with them, and they're running down the middle of the street. And she's like, why are we running down the middle of the street? They said, well, the alligators crawl up onto the concrete seeking heat, and you don't want to be on the sidewalk in the dark because you might trip over one of them. Could you imagine having to worry about that?
And that's why we run at 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's exactly what Chris was thinking.
The good thing about that is you know they're there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And you would expect it. Here you don't expect it.
I'm always looking for snakes and stuff, you know, because you know, you're down by a creek. Never in my life would I have thought of an alligator.
You will tell this. This story will be told for generations in your family. You know that.
Hey, it was an exciting day, and the kids had a blast with having something to do with it.
And Chris tells me he's somewhat of a practical joker to begin with, which is why nobody believed him when he first told them that he saw an alligator. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay, Chris, listen carefully. I'm a remote control fan. Drones, boats, that kind of thing. Go on to Amazon. They have got an alligator head remote control. It goes in the water, and it's just the head, but it looks like it's a full-length alligator. You drive it around.
I'm already going to order it because I'm getting ready to build. We've got 3.5 acres. I'm going to build a half-acre pond up in the field that's just above the creek.
Nice.
My daughter-in-law, stepdaughter is getting married on our property, and I'm going to have this done for next year, and I'm going to have a couple of those just as a joke.
So you know what they are. You've seen them.
Oh, I've already looked them up online.
Buy 10 of them.
I will be looking for that viral video of everybody freaking out at a wedding reception. How about that? That's good stuff. Chris Soljak, listen, thanks for giving us some time today, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll talk again soon. Chris Soljak, check out the website. That video is well worth watching. It is good stuff.
All right. Well, that's a good way to wrap up. Yes. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Man, Mark, all the things that I hear you talk about on your morning show.
Yeah.
In the last 18 months, we have seen things we have never seen or expected to ever see. So you know what? This really shouldn't surprise us.
No. Bears, alligators, we got them all now.
Alligator in Fantastic. West County. Yeah, it's a thing now. All right. Thanks for listening. Share the show on the Odyssey app. And thank you for listening. For Mark Cox, my name is Bo Matthews, and that's Mark. Or Carl. We'll go with Carl. It's early. Carl, thank you for being our executive producer.
Pew, pew.
See you, boys.
See you later, alligator. So long. That's all. Goodbye.
Get more at 971talk.com.